Thank you for cool on the outside. Lord, we thank you for health and strength, physically, spiritually, mentally, Lord, in every way. Lord, your many blessings every day bestowed upon us. Lord, sometime we take it for granted. Lord, until a trouble or a trial comes along the way. But may we always, Lord, lift up your lovely name, giving you the thanks and praise. Lord, as we look each day to you, leading us and guiding us, giving the leading of the Spirit, Lord, giving the revelation, Lord, daily as we look to you, we look to the Word. Lord, may you help us this morning. Give us words to speak to the people, the furtherance of this service. We thank you for the songs, the words that have been spoken, Lord, for the sweetness of your Spirit. So we just commit all to you now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you, and we are glad to see the children here this morning. We understand that Aspen was really sick the other day, and so we thank God for delivering her and bringing her, and we appreciate the songs, and I was coming by Gabriel back there, and he was just singing out really loud, and I love to see the children when they're singing and giving praise to God. And our daughter-in-law sent us a video the other day of our grandson. He was in the shower, and he was just singing at the top of his lungs, Father Abraham. And so I thought, just we thank God when the children are praising the Lord. And, you know, they get that by example. And so we appreciate all those things. So now this morning, have been looking, I had a way that I wanted to go on this, and a couple of messages still that I wanted to preach on the Godhead, and talking about the Father and the Son. And I still wanted to get to Genesis where he's talking about let us create man. But as I was studying this morning, I got turned a different direction. And so the title this morning is The Father's Throne. And so I'm just going to do the best I can. I haven't just had a few hours now to go over these quotes. And as always, we have questions. Even as we're preaching the things that he's given us, we still have questions. And so, but we thank God because he's constantly unfolding himself, revealing himself to us on a daily basis. And so we're thankful for that. So I'm going to read in 2 John chapter 1, and then we'll go to Revelations. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And I greatly rejoice that I found of thy children walking in truth, as they have received a commandment from the Father. Where did the commandment come from? The Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And, you know, John was the disciple of love. He was so close to the Lord and so full of love. And these next words are really strong. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If therefore come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bid him Godspeed is partakers of his evil deeds. That's pretty strong in it. And now in Revelation chapter 3, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. So may the Lord bless the reading of his word. And we're going to start in the questions and answers in 1963. And this is on the seals. And actually came up with a lot of, Brother Branham talked about the throne a lot in the seals, the questions and answers of the seals, the breach between the first seal, third seal. There are several quotes. I don't know if we'll get to it all this morning. I felt like I just read to you on Wednesday night, and I felt kind of bad afterwards. I don't mean to tire you out by just reading. I like to preach, but when I'm reading the quotes, there's something that he's saying that I want you to get. Amen. And I could just say it, but I want you to hear him say it. And so that's the reason I read a lot. And I shouldn't apologize for it, because it's the word. It's the revelation, and we all love, and just as Brother Goomba said many times, his ministry is different, and it's nice when he just stands and preaches and just goes on. But God is the one who's in control. It's good to see Bride this morning. I know that the work calls her a lot, and somebody told me that she told him that she needed a day off, so she could come to church. And so I thank God. That's right. There's something there. There's something there when you can't get together and fellowship and sit under the anointing of the word. It's, amen. And you know, we're so blessed in this day because we can listen to anything. We can listen and listen, but you'll never change what it does when you come together. And you're having that fellowship together, and you're setting together in heavenly places. There's something more there. And so we thank God for that desire, and we want it to grow in each one of us. So let's look here in paragraph 176, questions and answers on the seals. But there's supposed to be an eagle time come. See, that's the time it's to straighten all those mysteries out. See, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. All three of them. Matthew said Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Peter said Lord Jesus Christ. So who is the Father? He's making a question now out of this question that's being given to him. Somebody's asking him about the difference in the baptism titles versus. And so he's asking, who is the Father? The Lord said unto my Lord. Think about that. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Is that right? Father, Son, Jesus, Holy Ghost. The Logos that went out of God. Who's the Father? The Father is the eternal Spirit. Who's the Son? Is Jesus Christ. Who the Holy Ghost is, the Logos that went out of God, is the pillar of fire, it's the Word. Amen. So, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is absolutely three titles of the person of God, manifested in three different ways or three attributes of Himself. And so, I don't know who, I think, I don't know if Brother Goomba and I were talking the other day, and he was saying that, and I've said this also, that when we first come to the message and we learned that there was one God and that his name was the Lord Jesus Christ, that was it. That was the revelation of the Godhead. That's as much as we knew about it, and that's as much as we thought there was. We thought we had it. I know that was me, because my wife was in the Baptist church, and I come out of nothing. I just come out of the world. And so I had that one revelation of the name and on water baptism. And so I was ready to take down the whole Baptist denomination. I was ready to just destroy them with my revelation. And so we talked to the preacher. We talked to a young minister there in the church, and mostly I was talking to her. I would tell her about the Godhead, and then how Satan could just arrange it when she went to church. She was still going to church at that time there, and they would preach on the Trinity, or Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Satan knows what's going on, and it's amazing how things can happen right when you think you're making progress, and Satan is fighting on the other side. And so, even come when we when it come to our wedding, the preacher was there. We sat down with him and talked to him, and we told him, we said, one thing we're requesting is to be married in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, well, we normally do it in titles, Father, Son, Holy. He don't say titles. He said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, it's the same, right? The name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we had a discussion, and he said, yes, yeah, same thing. And so he agreed. He agreed. It's the same thing. And so I said, well, great. So I felt the relief go off, And so I said, well, so we want to be married in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, no, I won't do that. And I thought, but you just said it's the same thing. And so it's not. There's something there to them. There's some ritual. There's something there that holds them to that idea. And so whatever it is, we're not on that today, but it's just there. It's there. And so, but the prophet here, he's going so much deeper. He's going so much deeper. He's letting you understand who is the Father, who is the Son, who is the Holy Ghost. Who is it? Knowing who it is. Brother Branham said, you can't get to first base with God unless you understand the Godhead. Unless you understand who he is, how are we going to know all the mysteries and we don't even know who he is? He said that we must come to that. So he said the Holy Ghost, the Logos that went out of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, is absolutely three titles of the person of God, manifested in three different ways, or three attributes of himself. Three attributes of himself. And that's what I'm hoping I can get that across this morning in talking about the throne. That it is the attributes of God that are being made manifest. And God changing his mask. In every one of those things, it's God changing his mask. God revealing himself in another attribute. All the way down. When he was just the eternal spirit, he was there, he dwelt alone. He wasn't even God. And so he was just there dwelling with his thoughts. And so then Brother Branham said, he created the angels so that he could begin to express his attribute.
That's right.
And when he spoke and he created, then he changed. He changed his attribute. He now become manifested God. He now became an object of worship. Something that he wanted to be. It was something that was in him, that was in his attributes. It was in his thoughts. It was in his desire, his nature of what God was. This is what he wanted. And he began to express that, what he had inside of him. None of it had come out yet. Because the scripture said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. And He was His very Word, but He hadn't expressed it. And so when He began to express it, He began to manifest that. And once He became that, then He continued to unfold Himself. And He said that Logos that came out of God said that was the Word of God. That was that pillar of fire. That was that anointing. That was that expression. That was that first bodily form of God. That God, the Father, the eternal Spirit that you couldn't see, that you couldn't know, that now He began to express Himself and you could see Him. Amen. Although yet there was nobody there to see Him. But yet now He became visible. And He said that pillar of fire just played at the door of eternity like a child before the Father. And said it was just moving around. Just think what God was feeling, expressing Himself now, knowing what was going to happen, knowing the end from the beginning. He knew that this was the first steps of where what He wanted to achieve in these attributes that He wanted to display. See, and to make it plain to somebody who wouldn't understand, it's like three offices of the same God. Actually, it's three attributes of the same God. We can call it offices, we can call it attributes. That's what it comes down to. So three manifestations, God acting in three different, see, under the fatherhood, under the sonship, under the Holy Ghost dispensation. God is perfect in three. And you remember the Antichrist, four. And so He's just throwing that in now. God is always perfect in three, but the Antichrist, He's talking about the four horse riders. That He came forth, He also was manifesting Himself. He also was displaying His attributes. He was His different offices of what Satan was. Satan was also changing his mask. Just as God was changing His mask, Satan was changing his mask. Brother Gumba's brought many times on the four horse riders and talking about those things. And so that's what He was doing. He was changing from one to another to another. See, becoming more deceiving. God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is absolutely the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you baptize in the name of Jesus only, that's wrong. You baptize in the name of Jesus, that's absolutely wrong. Why? It's a revelation. It's a revelation. Now, what was the other question? One of them, see, this is still in questions. This is questions and answers out of the COD book. See, one of them was I the Son of Man, or was the pillar of fire the Son of Man? Now, I think we read this in one of the messages already, but it has something in here I wanted to bring relating to this. I'm reading it again. No, the pillar of fire is the anointing. See, the pillar of fire. Now, this may go a little deep, see, and he speaks to some of the brethren there, Brother Vale and some of them. Now, the pillar of fire is the Logos that went out of God. What is the pillar of fire? It's the Logos that went out of God. And when that pillar of fire went out of God, Brother Branham said, that was the Son of God. Right? I want to keep bringing that to your attention. It'll come again. It's going to come up again somewhere. But that was the Son of God. And that was millions or billions of years before Jesus Christ, the man, the flesh man. But here was the Son of God. Here was the Son of God. Brother Branham said that was the theophany. That was the theophany. I don't know if we'll get to that today. See, it was the anointing. I'm sorry. Let me back up here. I don't want to miss any of this. I want to read again. Now, the pillar of fire is the Logos that went out of God, the Logos, which is actually the attribute of the fullness of God. Okay? I'm going to read that one more time. The pillar of fire is the Logos that went out of God, the Logos, which is actually the attribute of the fullness of God. How much of God? The fullness of God. When God become into a form, where he could be seen. When he came into a form, the pillar of fire, where he could be seen. It was the anointing of the Great Spirit. Who's that? That's the Father. It was the anointing of the Great Spirit. It was the anointing of the Father that's now that attribute being made manifest. That was the Logos coming forth. When God come into a form to where he could be seen, it was the anointing of the Great Spirit that went forth. It's condescending, coming down, God the Father. See? Who was it? It was the Father. Who's the Father? The Eternal Spirit. Who's the pillar of fire? The Logos that came out of God. The Logos that was up over Israel. Huh? Same pillar of fire, the same Logos that was over Israel, the same one met Paul, the same one that met the prophet, the same one photographed in this day. See, he was holy, could not bear sin. There had to be a blood offering right in Eden. See? Then that Logos become flesh. See? Thousands of years later, and dwelt among us, where this Logos dwelt in a human body, which was the sacrifice, which we talked about the other night, that talking about deity, that this man, amen, that the flesh was not the deity, but the deity was in the flesh. There was a difference. And so, I'm not going to go back on that. Paragraph 108. When man was made in the image of God, and then God came down in the image of man to redeem man, that brought man and God together. Heavens and earth hugged and kissed each other. God and man embraced each other as fatherhood and sonship when the Logos became flesh. Now, God made that man in his image, and then that man fell. And then God became flesh that he could bring that man back into that fellowship. Fatherhood and sonship, when the Logos became flesh, dwelt among us. And Jesus said, I came from God and I go to God. Is that right? After his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, when the body was taken up to set at the right hand of God, where did it go? To the right hand of God. And he was sitting there as a mediator. Now, the prophet's going to talk about it a little bit. He said, now, I don't mean God's got a right hand. And sometimes I think people, you're just reading it literally and you get that in your mind. Yeah. That there's just this throne setting. There's two thrones there. One's the Father's throne and one's the Son's throne. And that he's sitting at the right hand. So, but at the right hand means in power and authority of God. Amen. So that expression of Jesus Christ, he was sitting at the right hand of God. He was the power and authority, the representative of that, in that form that he was in. Because in that flesh was the fullness of the Godhead bodily was dwelling in this man. In this flesh and blood man, the fullness of the Godhead. So God had changed his form now from the eternal spirit. He was still eternal spirit. He's still dwelling right there. Just as we read the other day where he was talking about in the millennium that the Father will hover over the Son. The Son will be on his throne and the Father will hover over him. What that does to the Trinitarians and to the oneness and the two-ness, and it throws people out. But he talked about this early on. He talked about this in the 50s. He explained so much of this in the 50s. And just a little bit after the seals, but after the seals, when he talked about it, he said exactly the same thing. He nailed it down exactly the same. So it don't mean God's got a right hand. God is a spirit. But at the right hand means in power and authority of God. So God expressing himself in this form, in another form, than instead of the form of the Father, he's expressing himself in the form of the Son. Huh? Not in the spirit, but in the flesh. It's a different form. That in the name, in that name, everything in heaven is named after it and subject to it. Everything in earth is named after it and subject to it. See, a name above all names, Jesus Christ. Now this Logos that was in him, which was the Spirit of God. This Logos was the Spirit of God. The anointing through the sanctifying grace of the blood brought many sons to God, which is anointed with the same Logos. Where you're anointed with the same Logos, the same word, the same Spirit. Now, on the day of Pentecost, it come down that pillar of fire. What's it doing? It's changing its form again. It came from the Spirit. It came into flesh. Now it's gone from the flesh. The flesh has died. The been resurrected, sitting at the right hand of God. Now it's coming back. His form is changing again. And this Logos now is coming back in spirit form. It's coming back in the form of the pillar of fire to manifest itself. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. See, and broke apart. Now, this that was in one man, now it's breaking itself apart and becoming into a many-membered body. It's spreading itself out now in licks of fire, and that pillar of fire is becoming on many of them. Many of them now, this pillar of fire is identifying itself with them. And it broke apart like that, and tongues of fire set upon each of them. Not their tongues, but tongues of fire set upon each of them, an elected, selected group. God chose, not every elected ones, chosen ones. He identified himself. See, identified by this pillar of fire, showing that God had separated himself into man. So now, when this Logos now is expressing itself, and God has been condescending, and God there in as the eternal Spirit couldn't be seen, couldn't be nothing. There was no way to express himself. Then that Logos comes out, and he begins to express himself in that pillar of fire, in that anointing. You could feel that. You could see that. Now, that come all the way down into flesh. So now it's changing its form again, and it's beginning now to come into the people. Yes. It's beginning now to express itself in man, in women. Yep. That same anointing, the anointing now is coming upon the people. Amen. Think where it's at now. That's where the anointing started. That's where the baptism come. That's where the gifts was poured out. But now it's come in the fullness of it. The fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of the Word is what was let loose in this day. That's what's upon the bride now. But here at the day of Pentecost, it broke up in tongues of fire, identified by this pillar of fire, showing that God had separated himself into man. Do you get it? God, the Logos, separating himself into men. God, not in one person. He's in his church universal. That's the reason Jesus said, the works that I do shall you also. See? More. Now, I know the King James says greater, but the right revelation there is more than this shall you do. Now, this is in 1964. This is in 1964. He is yet to see. It's yet to hit him that it really is greater. Because he comes to that. He comes to that place. Here in 1964, this is almost to the end of 1964. He's still thinking. In one place he said it like this. He said, you couldn't do greater. You couldn't do greater. He said, you could only do more. But then one day the Lord let him see it was greater. It was greater. This now had come to a place where actual creation. And he said that hadn't took place since Genesis 1. Jesus didn't create. He took something and multiplied it. He said, this is actually literally greater, something greater that you people think, okay, so he was the Son of God. He was the fullness of God. Why would he let it be that these people are going to do something greater than he did? That's where they miss the revelation. It is him. It's in his next manifestation. It's in his next manifestation now that he is going to do greater than what he's doing now. What I'm doing right now, it's going to be greater. And he's saying you, but you know that it's him. You know, because he told you in that day, you're going to know that I am in you and you in me. That's what it's going to be. When the form changes, when it comes time for that attribute, when it comes time for that to manifest, then you're going to see. Amen. You're going to see. Do you get it? God, the Logos, separating himself into men. See, not in one person. That's the reason Jesus said, the works that I do shall you also. Sorry, I'm repeating myself. Sometimes I mean to, sometimes I don't. More than this shall you do. God was bottled and confined in one man, Jesus Christ. But now he's bottled and confined in the whole universal church of the living God. Right now, while God is here speaking with us in our hearts, he's in Africa, he's in Asia, he's in Europe, see, he's in England. Wherever believers are gathered together, there he is in the midst of them. Praise be to God. That's our God. Amen. And he's got a bride made up of every nation and every tongue and every kindred. Amen. What a beautiful bouquet that he has. And Satan can't do anything about it. Amen. Satan can't touch it. Satan can't touch it. That's right. And it don't matter if you have an education or you don't. It don't matter if you have money or you don't. It don't matter what language you speak. It don't matter what tribe you are. God has a bride made up of all of it. Praise be to God. And that is part of the type of Solomon. That's part of the type of David. It's all part of it. You can't take it away. See, I think we read this quote, and I mentioned it a while ago. This is also questions and answers. Now, on top of Mount Zion will set the Lamb, and the city will need no light, for the Lamb is the light thereof. And above the Lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos. Huh? What is it? The Logos. God, the great light. Now, he's calling now the Father. He's called the Son, the Logos. And now he's calling the Father, the Logos. Because the Logos is the anointing. The Logos is the pillar of fire. The Logos is the Word. And so now, whatever form the Son is in here, now that pillar of fire is going to be there over him. Identifying the pillar of fire is going to be there. That Logos is going to be there. See? Let's read it again. And above the Lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos, God, the great light, the eternal light, that'll shine just above the throne. And Jesus will not be on his Father's throne. See? He'll be on his throne. And the Father will hover over the Son. Now, he's not going to be on the Father's throne. He's going to be on his throne. So this manifestation, this attribute of God now is moving from that, from the Father's throne, from from that form now to another form. It's now coming to another form. And he's sitting on his throne. And Brother Branham said, and I didn't have time to look for the quote, but Brother Branham said, his throne is in the hearts of the bride. That's where he's at. That's where he's at now. And so we know that he takes his throne. See, Jesus will not be on his Father's throne, but he'll be on his throne, and the Father will hover over the Son. which the Father and the Son will be how many? How many? They're going to be one. That's right. See? And while they were yet speaking, I'll answer. Before they can think, I'm thinking for them. Whoa, that's wonderful, isn't it? Before they can think, I'm thinking for them. Praise be to God. That's right. And then God become material in a man called Jesus Christ, which was his son. And this son gave his life that he might bring other sons, that God might become tangible, working in all in all. That's right. That's what he wanted. That was his next attribute. That was where he was going. That was his plan, to go from that expression, the fullness in one man, he could break himself up. That one man made the way possible. Made the way possible so that it could be in a many-membered body. And Brother Branham said, you hold more than one office. You hold more than one office. You are a son, because every one of us that are on the earth are a son, or we're a daughter. We came from the manifestation of our parents. We came from that union. And so that's what we are. And so then from there, we can become a husband. We can become a father. We can all of that, as God has done. As God has done. See, that God might become tangible. And in that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. And there Jesus will sit on his throne. And out from under the throne will flow the river of life. From under the throne is going to be a river. Under the throne is going to be a river of life flowing out from him. And it's going to go down through by the city. It'll go right down through the streets like that. On each side stands the trees of life that'll bear or change their fruits every 30 days. Oh, what a city. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, in this... I think this is in the Church Ages book. Yeah, it's in the Smyrna Church Age. Now, Brother Branham is reading the scriptures on trials and tribulations, persecutions, and saying that that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, and then bringing it to us too, that we're doing the same thing. And so, I'm going to skip some of this, but you can read it. There's some good scriptures here. And I'm going to go down to page 117, paragraph 1. And there's still a scripture here. We'll read it. This is in Romans 8. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. Now, he said that we're going to sit on his throne with him. And there ain't going to be a bunch of people in a throne, but you're going to be sharing that same power and that same life and that same everything that he is, that same thing, you're partakers of it. And so, but in order to do that, you're going to suffer. You're going to prove that seed life in you. You're going to prove, God's going to prove what it is. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But the power with character is fit to rule. Now, I don't want to get off on politics, but anybody, if you look at the news at all, you see what's going on. You see, there's never been anything like this ever in any country that I know of. There has never been such an exposing, and I'm going to say transparency for the president to have the media setting in meetings that you would think they would be off limits. And like this meeting with Zelensky, you would think that would have been a private meeting and more respectful and all of that. But whatever, we know what he's doing. We know he's trying to force his hand to end this thing. And so Trump knows he has the upper hand in it, and he's forcing the issue. And so he made the promise to help end that war, and he's trying to do that. And like I said, I don't mean to get off on that, but what's happening, it's being exposed. And when Elon Musk said that he believed he could shave $1 trillion off of the budget, they had no clue. They had no clue what the condition of this nation was actually in. $1 trillion is not anything to what has been being given away. It's trillions of dollars. These slush funds that, and so far, now it's hard for me to believe that it's all Democrats. I'm having a hard time believing that. There's crooked on both sides of the aisle. We know that. But, and just because they got somebody in there who's trying to fix a thing, it don't make them a bunch of Christians. It don't make them a bunch of believers. We know better than that. But so far, these Democrats are being exposed for this money. It's being put in these budgets, and there's literally billions and billions of dollars that are just going out, and they don't even have to have a name. They don't have to prove where it's going. They don't have to come up with anything. And so him saying he could shave $1 trillion, it's looking like he might save several trillion. But they're fighting even that. And that's just even more amazing. When they were saying that men were women and women were men, I was amazed. I'm saying, this is insanity. You just can't, you can't be in your right mind and say these things. And so now the whole American public sees the corruption, and they see trillions of dollars that have just been given away around the world. It's just like they're sending boatloads of money everywhere, and with nobody to, they can't even trace it. They can lose billions of dollars and just tell Congress, we don't know what happened to it. We don't know what happened to it. And so it's just amazing. And now they're standing up. The Democrats are complaining because it's being exposed. That's what the Democrats have been advertising as their selling point, as they've been trying to be in power all these years. The Republicans are wasting your money, and we're saving your money. We're trying to cut back. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. Why are they now, when it's being exposed, why are they fighting against it? More insanity. It's just more insanity.
Yeah.
But I felt sorry for Zelensky the other day, but he's got a lot of problems, and he's got a lot of baggage. He's got a lot of baggage from way back. And so it's come through, and I didn't realize how many people have died in that war. Over 1 million. Over 1 million people have died. And so it's got to come to an end. It always comes to the big guys setting up here in their air-conditioned place and the little guy going out there dying.
Right.
And the little guy dying, the little guy dying, while they're just arguing and arguing and arguing. Mm-hmm. Let them. Let's go back to that.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that. Let's just put a ring out there, give them both a gun, a knife, a sword, and let Putin and Zelensky fight it out.
Yeah.
But it's just the little guy is always the one who's bleeding for these guys.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. It's just wrong. But it is just Satan. We know what it is. And since he wants us to share even in his throne on the same basis that he overcame and is set down in his Father's throne, and we have to overcome to sit with him. Praise be to God. Now, this is what God had in his mind, is that we were going to share this power and this glory, that we were going to share in his throne, that we were going to sit right there with him and rule and reign. Is that right? Know you not the saints shall judge the earth? They are. And the little temporary sufferings that we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us. Where is it going to be revealed? It's going to be revealed in you. Because that's where he is when he comes. See? Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Praise God. Now, 1965, this day the scripture is fulfilled. I think this was, you know, this was right after, I can't think of the message where the priest took the book and read. Brother Man says, paragraph 45, now he came in three names. He came as Son of Man, which was prophet. And that's what he did. He proved his ministry, huh? By being a prophet. He proved his ministry. He proved that the scripture said he would be revealed as Son of Man. So now that manifestation for that day had to be exactly according to the scripture. Because the scripture had been revealing it. The scripture had been speaking it. The prophets, it had been being revealed to the prophets, and they were speaking it in bits and pieces, word here, word there, coming down. And now the manifestation comes. So that same God is changing his form again and coming to manifestation now as the Son of Man. He couldn't come. He couldn't come as Son of God. He came as Son of Man. Brother Branham said, and that was an eye-opener for us. Brother Branham said, God is a spirit. So his Son is a spirit. That's something, isn't it? When you stop and think about it, because how we used to think about it. What are you? Huh? How were you created? Amen. You were created spirit man. Yes. You were created spirit man. And so there, the Son of God was in spirit form. And Son of Man was a prophet. It was a man. Mm-hmm. It was a man, flesh and blood. Right. You say, well, he still was the Son of God. He sure was. It's just recognizing the form that he was promised to come in. Amen. Yeah. You must. It didn't work for the Syrophoenician woman when she didn't recognize the form he was in. He didn't come to her as the Son of David. Right. No, he didn't. Brother M said that was to the Jews. And he said, that's what's wrong with the Pentecostals. He said, they're looking for some great thing to happen. And he said, that's to them. Yeah. Now, when he says that's to them, he's as good as saying, you, it's not to you. Yeah. It's not to you. Yeah. So, to me, that means we don't know how much of that we'll know. How much of that we'll know. We know that they were called at the same time. We know they were saved by the same grace. We know all of it, Brother Branham says, all happening at the same time. It was all together. All of it was in one package. But you don't know. You don't necessarily see this revival going on in Israel like they had said it would be or how they think it would be. But God is getting a seed. No matter who sees it or don't see it, God's getting his seed. You can be sure about it.
Yes, sir.
It's just like right here. Mm-hmm. We believe this is a part of that body, a part of that seed.
Amen.
What does the world know about it? Huh?
That's right.
You didn't not even have a church. You don't even have a register with the government. They don't even know you're here. Huh?
Amen.
But God knows.
Yes, sir.
God knows. And he knows them in every country. And they're going to be a little group in every country.
Amen.
Then these big groups, there might be a few, but mostly it's little groups, just little groups. It's always been that way. This isn't a new thing. We're not setting a new standard. It's always been that way. They met in dens and caves and under trees. And even Israel, when they come through the wilderness, they were just out there in the wilderness. The tabernacle in the wilderness. It was just some cloths put up and they come in. Now today, he is the Son of God. See? Which he returned back, and now he's in the form of the Holy Ghost, the unseen person. But yet, God, the Son of God, see? And in the millennium, he sits on his Father's throne, see? Which he'll be the Son of David. He revealed himself first as Son of Man, a prophet. Now, through the church age, Son of Man, Son of God, and in the other age, Son of David. But you'll notice here, he said, at the ending of the church age, it had got in such a mess till he would be revealed again as Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed, how appropriate was that mix-up yesterday when those pages stuck together and the priest handed him the book.
Yeah.
Exactly what Brother Gumbo was talking about the other day, Isaiah 61. Exactly the same. I hope you don't miss it, see? We have had the revelation of the Son of God, but the last promise that Abraham had before the Son was brought into existence, the one that he had been promised before the promised Son showed up. God manifested himself there at Sodom as a prophet, being a man in flesh, God, Elohim, as I heard someone speak it a while ago, which the Godhead bodily was in him. See, he was the fullness. Elohim is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Elohim. Brother Branham said the same thing about the Logos. He said that was the fullness of the attribute of God. Jesus Christ was the fullness of the attribute of God. And we notice there what Lot saw. When Abraham saw him coming, he said, "My Lord." There was three of them. And down in Sodom, Lot saw two of them and said, "My Lords." What does he say? A lack of revelation. A lack of revelation. See? So notice what taking place here when he came up, how he made himself known. Praise be to God. How he made himself known. That's the bride is able to recognize him in every age. In this day, in every age. And Brother Branham tells a story. We're going down to paragraph 52. But Brother Branham, I left it in there, but I just condensed it a little bit. Brother Branham was talking about there was a king one time, and he told his constituents, he said, "I'm going away, and I'm going to be gone for a few years." And they're questioning him, and they're wondering, "Where are you going? What are you going to do?" And he said, "I want to know my people." And he said, "I want to become one of them." And they said the next day, the king took off his crown, he took off his robe, and he dressed like a common person, and he walked out. And he said, I'm gonna cut wood with the woodcutter. And he said, I'm gonna hunt with the hunter, and I'm gonna build with the mason. I want to know how they feel. I want to become one of them and become a part of them." And he said, "I can't do it sitting here on this throne. I want to go down where they're at." And that's exactly what God did. That's exactly what God did. And then brought you back where he is. Brought you back. And I thought that such a beautiful story. And I thought, and you can't get away from what's going on right now, but, and I thought, what if we had leaders like that in the world today? What if you had leaders like that? You look at the poor in every country, and every country has it. We have people here just as poor as Africa. They're here. We have people that are dying here on the streets, just like Africa, just like India. We have the same thing. And just think of what if all of those trillions of dollars that have been wasted, what if just the $350 billion that we sent to Ukraine, what if we just put that money to our homeless people? What could it do? Just $350 billion. You look, I use Kenya a lot because I know a little bit about it, and I try to keep up with some of it. But you look at the billions of shillings. Now, 20, 30 years ago, you didn't read those numbers, billions. It was maybe a million, few million here and there. Now it's billions. And some years ago, I was there and had it in the newspaper. There was this, I don't remember how many this group was, four or five people. But anyways, they sold this, I don't know if it was, there was this land, and they were supposed to build a dam or something, and there was going to be this body of water, whatever it was like 4 billion shillings. And none of the work ever got done. I think they started something, and then they just disappeared with the money. 400. Huh? 400. Yeah. So, and that's happening over and over. I remember when I first started going to Kenya, and they were working on Thika Road. Well, actually, that was some years afterwards. When I first going to Kenya, it was just what it was. And then they started working, and then it was really rough because all of those people driving through the construction. You remember those days when we were driving on the dirt road? And so, but anyways, Brother Gumba was telling me that that road had been paid for several times. Several times. Different countries gave the money to build that road. And then the money disappeared. Maybe they did something small and the money disappeared. And so finally the Chinese came in and they built the road. And so I thought about the billions that have been stolen by the leaders in Kenya. What it would do for the poor people. What it would do for the economy. Think of the roads. All the roads would be better. Now you find, I remember one time in Uganda, you're going out and the roads are horrible. You know, you're going along and all of a sudden you come out in the middle of nowhere and there's this beautiful road. Well, come to find out there's some big guy in the government who owns the land here. He owns the property. So they're going to pave the road for him. And you can even find that too in Kenya. You find that in America. You find the same thing in these bills that they hide it. Let me get off this. Paragraph 52, the mighty God unveiled before us. Then we find out after his death, burial, and resurrection, he came on the day of Pentecost as the Son of God, the Spirit, in the form of the Holy Ghost. What was he doing? He was changing himself, making himself known to his people in a different form. That's what I want to get across this morning. I know you know that, but I want to tie it to the Godhead and to the throne. And so, because that's what was happening. And that's what the throne is. When he's changing thrones, he's just changing that great eternal God, that fullness of God, is just changing its form. That's all that's happening. He's just coming in another form. He came to deal through the church ages as Son of God and the Holy Spirit, but in the millennium, he comes as the Son of David to sit on the throne of David, King. He was to take the throne of David. He's on the throne of his father now. See, and then he said, he that overcometh will sit with me on my throne as I've overcome and set on my Father's throne. So in the millennium, he'll be the son of David. What is it? The same God all the time, just changing his mask. See, I am to my wife a husband. That's right. And did you notice? The Syrophoenician woman said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he never even bothered him at all. He never looked at her, never gave her no attention, never nothing. Huh? Why? She had no rights to call him that. She had no claims on him as son of David. He is the son of David to the Jew. To who? The Jew. Amen. And I hear a lot of message people talking about, he's the son of David, he's the son of David. To the bride, he's the husband.
Amen.
He's the husband.
Yes, sir.
To them, he said they will be servants. They will be servants.
Right.
We are the bride, the wife.
Amen.
The wife. She had no claims on him as son of David. He was the son of David to the Jew. See? But when she called him Lord, he was her Lord. And then she got what she asked for. See? Now as he is just changing himself. Praise be to God. That's what he's doing. Now in my home, I'm three different people. In my home, my wife has claims on me as husband. My daughter out there, she doesn't have any claims on me as husband. I'm her father. And my little grandson there, I'm a grandfather to him. So he has no right to call me father. I'm not his father. My son is his father. I'm his grandfather. And so we just start as a son or a daughter, because that's what every one of us are. We are sons and daughters of God. So to be on this earth, you had to be born. So you're automatically, you're a son, right? You're automatically, you're a daughter. And then that's what you are until when? Until by union, you become a husband. And when you become a husband, when you be in that union now, you have changed your form. You have changed your office. You have changed your ministry. That's exactly what he's done. That's what he's been doing over and over and over. And you come into that form of a husband. And then from that, then you can come in position to be a father. You can become in a position to be a grandfather or a great-grandfather, whatever it is, that position, changing your form. He was changing his form. What about a woman? When a woman, a young woman, she's at home and she's serving her mother and father. She's giving respect to them. She's serving them in whatever capacity that they require of her. But then when she is married, then she leaves that and she changes. She changes from that to now she's a wife. And now she's serving her husband. And as she's serving her husband, Brother Bram says she's serving God. She's serving Christ. She's serving the Word. And so in that, that's the manifestation. That's the attribute of God that God called for her to be. In that. And when she's in that place, she's expressing Christ. She's changed. She's changed now. She dies to, just as when you're born again, you die to your, to that nature, to the world. And now it's Christ in you. And when you get married, you are dying to your wants and you are there to please your husband.
That's
right. That, thank you. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's how Brother Branham said, and you've heard, seemed like somebody said this just recently too. Brother Branham said, "You women, I'm going to put you in your place. The Word is going to put you in your place." And he said, "You see that, you stay right there. Don't get out of that. Because when you get out of that, then Satan has perverted the attribute, perverted what God had in his mind."
Right.
And so God, just as he made that man for a purpose, he made that woman for a purpose. Amen. He made you for a purpose. Amen. And he wants you to express that purpose.
Amen.
And that, Brother Branham, and I think he gets it in the seal book, but he's talking about, it's just actors. He said, I'm putting it like that. He said, I'm putting it like it's a great drama that God is carrying out, that God, and he chose you. He chose you for a special place, a special actor, a special person in this. And he chose you, and he chose you. And each one he chose, and he gave each one a script. And the only thing is, you're living that script out. You don't get to read the script and then say, it's this. You get to, what you get to read is the revelation to know his nature, to know his word, to know the revelation. And then you're just living this out. And he's leading you by his spirit in this great drama. So that you get the suspense, that it, and the thrill of it as you're going through it. Now, if you'd have never know that God was in you, or God was doing it, or that you were had a part in this thing, then you would be oblivious to it. But when you're born again, now you become aware that he has got you in his hand. And every time you run into a situation, or you run into somebody who's asking or wanting to know something about God or about you or about whatever, you know that you are a special place, a special position. And you're thinking to yourself, Lord, what do I say? What do you want me to say to this person? Yeah, because you know that God put you on this earth to manifest the word of this age, to manifest his life, his nature in this age that you live in. And you know that's what you know that every day. That's what you're called for. That you, no matter where you are, on your job, in the grocery store, whatever you're doing, if you're at the red light and the person in front of you is texting, and you're in a hurry, yeah, the nature of Christ is still in you.
That's right.
Yeah. You're going to pull out your pistol and shoot at them, or your bag of rocks and throw a rock up there. But it's frustrating sometimes, isn't it? I try to be nice. I try to, you know, after so long, I give them so long. And then I just give a light, you know. I was in Canada the other day, and the truck started shutting off at the red light. And so it shut off. And so then I got to start over. I got to get it cranked back up and everything. So the light turns green, and the truck shuts off. And so I'm trying to crank it back up, and the car behind me is, whoa! And I'm like, I'm so sorry. You don't know what they're going through. That's what Brother Branham said.
Right.
You don't know what they're going through. Sometimes you assume that they're texting. Sometimes you assume that they're doing this or they're doing that. And it frustrates you because they're doing it. I'm sorry. It frustrates us. It does.
Amen.
But when we can get, we're in training.
Amen.
We're in training. Yeah. And we thank God he's helping us. And we thank God that we can see improvement in our life. We can see growing pains. We can see that he's doing something for us.
Amen.
Paragraph 56. And God, what he does, he just changes himself, see? To become to that generation, to make known himself to that people. And that's what we're here to find out tonight. In what way is God supposed to make himself known to this people and in this time? That's what we're asking every day. That's our search. Lord, what is it you got for us today? And we know so much, but we know there's so much more. We know there's details in there, and we want more of it and more of it. We know that when he took that book, redemption was finished. We know it because he said it plainly. He said it plainly that when he takes the book, redemption is finished. And I can remember 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I say 20 a lot, but probably 20 more has gone by since we started saying 20 years ago. That's how old we're getting. But it scared people. When you said redemption was finished, it literally scared people. And they're like, no, 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 no. Well, the reality was, you were saved before the foundation of the world. So you can't be lost. If you're a seed of God, you can't be lost. So if he says the work of redemption, and that's to me, that's the key. The work of redemption. He's finished with that work. And now he's going to claim what he paid the price for. So that back there, that mediator work that he was doing for 2,000 years, that has finished. And now he's not going to do that anymore. He's changing his mask to do something else. A different approach. Huh? In the Old Testament, for Cain and Abel, he had a way of making known to Abel and not making known to Cain. All through there, Moses' day, he had a way to make it known to Joshua and Caleb and not known to 2 million other people. He had a way. And that same way kept coming through until Jesus Christ walked upon the earth. And he had a way. He changed his mask again. He just kept changing his mask. And that's what the elected seed is doing in every age, is looking around because she has the ability to see and to hear, to recognize his voice and to see him. And she's not looking for flesh and blood. She's not looking for those things. She's looking for the nature. She's looking for the actions. She's looking. She's seen here. She knows what he looks like, how he acts, how he talks, all the things that he does. Not looks like fleshly, but what he looks like, the way that he presents himself, the way that he expresses himself. And she's looking for that. And he makes himself known to her. No matter what the veil is, no matter him changing his form, she keeps being able to recognize him. And we was reading a quote the other day that the Spirit directs it into that. The Spirit, in every age, the Spirit of God comes on the scene and directs it, directs the people into that where he's changed his form, directs it into that manifestation of the attributes of God for that day. And as soon as it changes, the Spirit stops directing into that, and the Spirit directs it into this new thing. And then this new thing again, and the new thing again. He just keeps doing it constantly, constantly. And the elect always get it. They never miss. I had a brother send me a text the other day, and he said, "Brother, I'm hearing about this sect. S-E-C-T. Are there people in the rapture and in the millennium and in this, and they're everywhere?" And he said, "This damnable thing and heresies," and I don't remember all the words that he said. And so he said he wanted to know about it. I forget how he worded the question towards me. But anyway, I just wrote him back and I just said, "Brother," I said, I don't know about that sect. I said, "But I thank God that the elect can't be deceived," because that's what his point was, that these people were deceiving the elect. And I said, I don't know about that sect you're talking about. I said, "But I just thank God the elect can't be deceived." I said, and the beauty of it is, I said, the bride is caught up in him in every age. And they're in heavenly places. They're in him. And they're sealed in. Praise be to God. Paragraph 56, he just changes his mask, changes his act, but it doesn't change his disposition. He doesn't change his nature. It just changes his mask from one to another. He does it, see, to reveal himself more plain to the people that they might know who he is and what he is. That's right. Praise be to God. And this is in the third seal. Where are we getting to here? Okay, we got a little bit of time. Paragraph 26. Now, it said, we never had books like this till lately. The books in the old time were scrolls. They were rolled up, and then they had one to the subject or anything. See, the Bible's rolled up. You want to read the book of Isaiah, you'd turn down here to Isaiah and unroll it like that, see, and read it. And this is a seven-sealed book of redemption. And we find out that the Lamb comes out and he takes the book out of the hand of him that sits on the throne. That's the Father, right? He's coming to get the book from the Father. The Father's on the throne. So the Father's on the throne. He's got all the power in heaven and earth. All right? All power. The eternal God, the eternal Spirit. That's the Father. And now the Son comes to get the book. And he takes the book. And he's going to take his throne. He looses the seals to the people. And the four beasts sitting there that we took in the church ages, the same four beasts, you see them all the way through the Scripture. And they are the ones who does the announcing of these seals, see? And we see it's a book of redemption. And then we went back and got the kinsman redeemer and picked him up to see what his work was. Huh? To see what? To see what his work. What was his ministry? What was his purpose? What was the attribute that he was to manifest? What was he doing? What was the purpose of it? That's the beauty of it. God had a purpose. Sometimes we think just something is happening with no purpose. No, God's got a purpose. He's got a purpose. So he's doing something. See? And the kinsman redeemer and picked him up to see what his work was. And now, for all these years, Christ has been doing the kinsman redeemer work. Now, all that understands that, say amen. Amen. And he has been doing the work of the kinsman redeemer. But there'll come a time that when the redeeming work will be over. See, the redeeming work. He's talking about that meritorial work. Now, he redeemed on Calvary. He paid the price once and for all. It was finished. It was done. He even said, it is finished. It's finished. Done. Never again will you have to offer a goat or a lamb or a bull or a pigeon or anything. Never again you're going to have to do that. Now that's all finished. Now my blood's been given. The price is paid for sin. It's finished. Then he changed his mask. Then he changed. He changed the way he was doing it. And he began to reveal himself in that. And when the redeeming work is over, then he leaves the throne of God. He's going to leave that throne now because he's done there. He's done expressing himself from this throne. Now he's going to go to another throne to express himself. Another form. And when the redeeming work is over, then he leaves the throne of God where he's seated now. But that's not his throne. He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, as I have overcome and have sat down on my Father's throne. See? That is not his throne. That's because that, listen to this now, this is so beautiful. That belongs to Spirit God. That's the Father, right? Amen. The Father is the eternal Spirit. And that throne belongs to the Father. That throne, that manifestation is Spirit. And I'm going to make a different manifestation. My throne is going to show the same power, the same life, the same nature. Amen. But now it's not going to be this in the spirit form. It's going to be in another form. See, that belongs to the Spirit, God. Christ the Lamb, it doesn't belong to Him. He is the incarnate God, see, which is the same God made incarnate. That's right. Let's just read that last little bit sentence there, two sentences. That, see, that's not his throne. That belongs to the Spirit. God, Christ the Lamb, it doesn't belong to him. He is the incarnate God, see, which the same God made incarnate when he takes the book. Is that right? When he started the paragraph, he was taking the book, right? So he takes the book from the Father's throne, and now he's going to take his throne, and he's going to be incarnate. Now watch as he rises to change his form here from mediator to judge, changing thrones, ministries, manifestations. Now he rises from that seat. See? He rises from that work, from that ministry. He rises from what he was doing now to do something different. Who is able to come and take this book of redemption, see? For the whole plan of redemption from Adam, all that Adam lost, there was nothing lost until Adam. After Adam, all was lost on the earth. Everything on the creation of earth was lost. Everything fell with Adam. Crossed the chasm that no one could get back. No way at all. Man, when he sinned, he left his way. He left no way back for himself. That's right. This is in the breach. Let's drop down to paragraph 269. He leaves the throne to be an intercessor, as a slain lamb to be a lion. He's saying he's left the intercessory throne. Now he's going to be a lion, a king, to bring the world to judgment, who has rejected his message. See, he's not a mediator. Remember the Old Testament teaching now as we hurry. When the blood went off the mercy seat, what was it? Judgment seat. And when the lamb slain walked forward from eternity out of the Father's throne. Notice how he keeps putting it. He's coming out of the throne, coming out of the Father's throne, he's coming out of that position now to another position. See? Took his rights, it was a judgment seat. And then he become not a lamb, but a lion, a king. And he calls for his queen to come stand by his side. Know ye not, the saint shall judge the earth? You see, he has to come. He had to come from Christ, from that manifestation. He had to come to this manifestation today. That God would be in his people. That God, the same Logos that came out of God, coming down to identify in this last day, the same. In the first seal, paragraph 51. And the mysteries of the book are revealed when the seals are broken. And when the seals completely are broken, the time of redemption is over. Because the Lamb left the intercession post to walk out to take his claims. He was a mediator between that. But when the real revelation happens on the seals and they begin to break, the Lamb is coming forth from the sanctuary. See, it's according to the word. We read it last night. He come out of the midst and took the book. So he's no more a mediator, because even they called him a lion. And that's the king. He's not a mediator then. It just sounds like there's this big temple, and goes into the sanctuary, that's where he was, and he was doing this thing, and then he gets up from there, from doing this meditatory work, and he goes over, and the Father's sitting over here on the throne, and he's holding a book in his hand, and he takes that book, and then he comes forth, and he begins to open the book and to reveal it. It's just, when you look at it in that natural realm, you can go away with a lot of ideas. So I really liked it when we was, I think we were in Kenya. I know we talked about it in Kenya. I don't know, maybe we talked about it before. but Brother Gumbel was talking about that when John measured the temple, and he said, "Brother, there wasn't no temple up there. There wasn't no building up there that he was going to measure this building." Think about it. That building was the bride. That building was the bride. She is the manifestation. She is the manifestation. He's no more mediator, because even they call him a lion. See, that's the king. He's not a mediator then. Although these actors, these seals begin at the first church age. See? And now, remember, dropping down, the actors, I'll place it like that. See, because an actor is a man who changes mask. Is that right? So you were born with one mask, and then you were born again, and you got another mask. You changed. You were acting like the world, and now you're acting like Christ. You changed your mask. In this act tonight, we're going to see that it's Satan changing his mask. See, and all actors see Christ acting the part as he did when he become from spirit to man. Huh? God, the Son of God, came from spirit to man. And then he came from man to spirit. He was the same God all the time. It was the same God. He was just changing his mask. But that veil that he was in was a veil of flesh. And that's where that stumbles people. That stumbles people. See, he came down in the form of man in order to be a kinsman. I think I skipped some there. I'm going to leave that paragraph again. And in this act tonight, we're going to see that is Satan changing his mask. Who is it? Satan. Satan changing his mask. And he's talking about the horse riders. He's in revealing the seals and how he changes the color of the horse. And it changes his act. It changes what he's doing. It changes his approach to deceive the people. And so is it with God. He's changing his approach to save the people. He's starting out from the blood of bulls and goats and going right down to Calvary, coming down to the opening of the mediator, and coming down to the opening of the seals, to get where he really wanted to be, to where now is not the baptism a temporal gift in you. It's not just the gifts of the Spirit. What it is now is the literal life of Jesus Christ living in the believer. The fullness of God, the fullness of the Word now poured into the church. That's what they talked about. That's what Paul talked about. He said all that was in Christ, he poured into the church. And we got the fullness of it. We got the fullness of it in this day. See, he only put on an actor's garment, human flesh, and came down in the form of man in order to be a kinsman redeemer. And now, you see, it's only an actor's form. That's the reason they were all in parables. See, the way they are here, like beasts and animals and so forth, it's in an act. And these actors begin in the first church age. And because it was Christ revealing himself to the seven church ages, now you understand, all right? It's Christ revealing himself to the seven church ages. And then through these church ages, there's a great mess up comes along. Then at the end of the age, the seventh angel's message is to pick up those lost mysteries and give it to the church, see? Now we'll notice that. And it was given there to gather her, to get her attention, see? But now, not then revealed in their true state. Now, in the Bible times, the mysteries were there. And they seen these things happen the way John saw it here. Now, he said, there's a white horse rider. But what the mystery of it is, there's a mystery that goes with that rider. And what it was, they didn't know. But it's to be revealed. But it is to be revealed after the Lamb leaves the Father's throne of his intercessory kinsman redeemer. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. He changes his mask. He changes his mask. And so that throne is just a change. It's just a change. He changes, he's moving his power from one manifestation to another manifestation to another manifestation. It's the same God all the time. The same He's just changing the veil, changing his form. Praise be to God. We thank God. How great is our God. Amen. How great is his word. How great is this revelation that we are blessed to be a part of. And I thank him. I praise him daily for what he's given us. And so we ask you to continue to remember for the Easter meetings. And I don't know, did you tell the people about the building?
No.
Brother Michael. So Sister Amanda was able to get a really good deal. I think when we first went over and talked to them, they wanted, I think, over $2,000. And they were limiting the hours. In other words, you get it for so many hours per day. You got to clean up, be out completely. So you couldn't leave, stay set up. And so when she went back to talk to him, and the woman asked her what it was for, and she told her that we were having Easter meetings. And so I think the woman said that her father, or grandfather, was a minister, and that so she dropped the price over half price, and give us full time. We have it all day, every day. We could leave everything set up, not have to keep, taking everything down like that. So it was a real blessing. And so we thank God for that. So we're looking forward. We still have some brethren that are trying to come, and that we want to be in prayer for them. And some sisters also. We've been reaching out to them to see how their status is. I think Brother Gumba and Brother Michael talked to a brother this week that was at the embassy and needed some information. And so I reached out to the sisters from Pokot, and I haven't heard back from them yet. And so Brother Benjamin will be coming in on the 8th. That'll be next Saturday. So be in prayer for him. As he's traveling, the Lord will give him traveling mercy. And so we'll ask you to stand together with us, and I'll ask Brother Goomba if he'll come and pray for us and dismiss us this morning. Continue to be in prayer for Sister Esther. The Lord will just be with her. She's taking care of her business.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the service today. And it was great. But it was deep. It was really deep. And when you think about, let me just say this is simple. This is simple. See, when Sister Hattie, with Brother Branham, Brother Branham said that he said the right thing until he touched God. But have you ever looked at what he said? He said, "Amen." The same amen. Yeah. The same point. Amen. The same amen. To what the prophet was saying in the schools and where we are in this age. And what kind of a God we are. What mask God has put in this age. He just said amen to that. It's a revelation to type God. Amen. Just look at what that sufficient woman. God could not. He had not an idea what kind of mask God was. He didn't have the revelation. That's what God requires us to have. Now, we got to have a revelation now where God is. He is the husband. God bless you, Brother Don. If you have that kind of a revelation, that's right. You visit the hour, you know who he is, you now can give him the right gift that he's worthy of. That's all that you are. Praise be God. It's a revelation. And Brother Don, that's very good. It's not... He talks like... He talks like it's a big house. God is sitting in a big throne with his gowns like that. And this small boy called Jesus Christ is coming. And he's holding a very big book. And he comes and takes the book. And he opens it. It's dramatic. It's a drama. But we know what it is. We need the revelation to see what it is exactly. We love it. We love it when we see it's not a building. It's not a throne, it's not anything like that. We know what it is. And that's the difference between us and the rest of the world. They need it, just like Abel and Cain. Cain sees a big throne. This is what it is, a big throne. That's what Cain sees, even today. A big throne, a very big man with gold. That's what he says. And a big book, he's opening. God writing some names there, deleting some names there, putting some. That's what Cain sees. We don't see that. We don't see that. We see ourselves in him.
Amen.
That's what we are in him. We belong to him. We don't even struggle. We don't. That's a revelation. Praise be to God. It's great. God bless you, well done. And you. You hit me up. You hit me up. I can talk about it now. It's so good. It's very open now. I mean, it's very clear. And praise be to God. Thank you for. Aswin was very bad, very bad. I took her from the bus here, and she's even lost a bit of pounds. and she was throwing up even in the car. Immediately she got out of the bus, she was bad, bad, bad. And she continued like that. Yesterday, when she jumped, I think because of throwing up, she had something that was hurting here. When she does this, and she, the disease is hurting. I thought, what is that? That's a very bad place to hurt. And my wife is like a doctor. She knows about animals, but she's also, I think she compares the animals with people also in the bodies, in the medical circles. She said, no, it's because when she was throwing up, she had a muscle or something, and I believe that it was. I could have taken her to the doctor. She didn't know to do that. I was telling somebody yesterday that we went to see Joe. Joe was very, very, very sick. That's why he could not come even this morning. He wanted to be here, Joe, Brother Joe. And I went to see him that evening because he was very, very sick. I heard he was very sick, so I went there. He was in bed. I've never seen that man on bed. He's up and going. And it was so bad. So we gathered together around his bed. And I think he was supposed to bring her mother here today. That's what he had agreed. And we surrounded the bed and we prayed. Just a short prayer. I feel like my prayer, I just prayed. Short prayer. But I was telling somebody, it's lack of faith on my part. Because I started talking about going to the hospital then. And he said, no. It would be very expensive to go to the emergency room. So he was to the following day. I got there and take him to the doctor, to the doctor's office. I went there and I blame myself on that. Because it's lack. I'm saying it's lack of faith. Sometimes we pray and we don't believe what is natural. Can we do something and help? Mm-hmm. And interestingly, the following day when I was going to take him to the hospital, they made us some breakfast. He was good and walking. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Why can't I believe what I pray? Why can't I believe what I ask for? That's all you need to do. Sometimes we don't do that. And we want to be stronger. We want to be stronger. Yeah. I felt so bad because I'm not really trusting like that. He says that this morning he started feeling weak a bit, and he says that I can pray for him. He asks that we pray for him. I would also like to give the report about the. On Sunday, we were seeing after church. I think Sunday, we were going to see somebody in the hospital that was almost dying. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That's Carl. His name was Carl. We used to work with him. We went there on Sunday and we sat here. Here, I know I'm taking a bit of time, but I'm finishing now. Here is a bit hard to approach because. I don't know why people sometimes are easily hurt. You hurt somebody's feelings very easily. It's the same, but a different way in Kenya. In Kenya, you don't tell somebody, even when he's dying, you don't tell them they're dying. You don't tell them, even doctors don't tell them. You can go to jail because of telling somebody is dying. A doctor telling somebody you're dying. You cannot do that. Because it brings him, there was somebody was told that he's dying, and he got insane. and was moving around like a madman and a madwoman. So you don't tell them like that. Here it's very easy to tell somebody you're dying. That's what what Joe told him. Yeah, that you're going, you're in your last mile. That's what he told Carl. And now I'm trying to bring Tamil to tell him, where are you going? Yeah. That's what I was trying to do. The first thing he showed me is, I'm not religious. He's not even interested. He even asked, why did you call me to tell me that you're coming? Like that, and said, and George told him, sorry, Stanley just heard that I was coming, and he said to accompany me. But anyways, I penetrated anyways, and I talked about it, and I said, where are you going? And I said, it's not necessary that people get sick like that and get healed. So we are not talking about that. We're talking, whenever you die, where are you going? Where are you going? And they said, I'm not religious, I'm not interested with that. But he said, but you did good to come see me before I die. So he knows he's dying, but it marveled me. It marveled me. And it comes back to this, that God knows his own. There's nothing good there. God, no, the Lord didn't hear that. God knows his own. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. And Joe went there, I think yesterday. I mean, it must be yesterday. And starting there, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. He talked to him, and in 2 minutes, he gave up the ghost. He's rested now. So, that's okay. It's what it is.
Amen.
It's only it's God who saves.
Yeah.
It's God who saves.
Amen.
The kind of fear you have, you want God so bad, you don't even want to do something. You want somebody, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It's not even do. It's God. Mm. It's God. And you leave it that, you love him, and you leave it at that. That's how it was. And I'm sorry about that. My sister was doing very well. I told you about my sister. My sister was doing very, very well until, I think, the day before yesterday morning. He was unable to eat. He was taken to the hospital, and then he rested. She rested. She has rested now. She was a believer. That's the best thing. That's the best part. She was a believer, a staunch believer. She had not come exactly to this, but whatever God gave her, she believed, she took it very seriously. She was a great prayer, she was a great worshipper, and she died in the pastor's house, and they had fellowship in the morning, fellowship in midday, like we have there here on Sunday and Wednesday. They had in the morning fellowship, they had in midday fellowship, they had one in the evening. Every day, like that. She lived in the church all that time she was sick. So we thank God for that. We thank God for that.
Amen.
The Bible said in Hebrews 7:29 that every man has an appointment with death. And after that, judgment. He said the most important thing to look at is after that, after death, where do you go? After death, what happens to you? That's the best thing to look at. Because for every one of us, you have an appointment with death. That's it. When you talk about these things, Lord God, it is really touching, Father, to see what you do. And it's very clear that, Lord, it is you who does these things. You picked up on Abel, and you left Cain. And that has been your pattern all the time, Lord God. It's you doing it. It's you saving us. It's you saving your people. And Lord God, we are so thankful to you that by grace has been upon us, Lord God. And you picked us, Father, like Jacob, Lord God, and you saved us. We are so thankful for that. Thank you for the service today. Thank you, Lord God, for the opening of the word, the way you've opened it, Lord God, telling us who you are, Father, letting us understand what you're doing in this age, Lord God, in your office as a husband, Lord, and we as we bride, Lord God. Thank you for all these things, Lord. We give glory to your name now. We pray for Benjamin coming, Lord. Give, Lord God, give him genesis. We pray for Joe, Lord God, and give him strength, Lord. Father, we pray even for the rest of the people who are coming. We pray for the Easter meetings, Lord God. Give us some good meetings where, Father, your word will be spoken and great revelation will come forth to the hearts of your people is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.